So firstly, I'd like to offer my sincere condolences to all of the Lindenberg family for the loss of their mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and even great-great-grandmother. We will have, obviously, this solemn High Mass, and after the Mass, we'll perform the last ceremonies over the coffin, and then the pallbearers, we will walk behind the pallbearers as they take the coffin to the cemetery. We have the final ceremonies there. I just want to welcome all the guests, certainly, to this funeral. And I just ask that those who approach the communion rail for communion, just to make sure that they are Catholics, not conscious of any grave sin since their last confession. I'd like to read to you the epistle in the gospel for this mass, for burial, for funeral mass. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we would not have you ignorant concerning those who are asleep, lest you should grieve, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so with him God will bring those also who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we who live, who survive until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with cry of command, with voice of archangel, and with trumpet of God, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise up first. Then we who live, who survive, shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. At that time, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who have come into the world. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Fathers, dear Lindenberg family, dear faithful, if we look over the Gospels, it seems that our Lord Jesus Christ had a very great love for farmers. He was always talking about farming. We all know that he even compared himself to a shepherd who takes the sheep out to the pasture and then leads them back into their pens, who watches over them with such love that he will give his life for them. He talked about the birds of the air. He talked about the lilies of the field. And he especially liked to talk about the farmer who goes out to sow seed in his field. Talked about farmers sowing mustard seed, about sowing wheat, about planting vineyards, cultivating those vineyards with their husbandry. Our Lord knew what farmers go through. He mentioned the fact that farmers have to deal with weeds. Some farmers face a situation where the weeds were not eradicated at the time of sowing. And in those cases, it's too late to take away the weeds when the weeds have sprung up alongside of the plants of the actual crop. Both of them have to grow together until harvest time, when the weeds will be gathered into bundles and will be burned, while the crop will be harvested and be placed in the barn. This is one of those Kingdom of Heaven parables that our Lord gives us, tells us about the life of the church. and the members of the church. It represents the fact that God's church, which he compares to this field, is composed of both sinners and holy people, of good members and bad members, and that this is the way it will be until the end of the world, when the bad members will be harvested and they will be burned in the fires of hell, like those weeds, while the good members will also be harvested by our Lord, the farmer, and he will place them in the barn of the Father in heaven. We may think that these parables of our Lord apply as much to farmers and perhaps even more to farmers than they apply to anyone else. We have reason to believe that Mrs. Lenneber and her husband Jean were not just good farmers, but they were also good plants in the field of the Catholic Church, of Christ's Church. And we're here today to place Mrs. Lenneber back into that soil, which was so much a part of her life. We will place her next to her husband on land that they themselves donated to the church for the use of our Lord Jesus Christ. Besides the great tracts of land which they used to produce so many crops on through their dry farming, Mr. and Mrs. Lenneber set aside this special tract of land to be the vineyard of the Lord, to be a place reserved for the worship of God, a place that would not bear a harvest of vegetables for a period of time, but a harvest of spiritual fruits that would last for eternity. Seems like this was not the only place they were seeking to increase the harvest of the Lord, as the Lenneber family donated as well the land for Our Lady of Plains Church in Byers back in 1972, and Jean was one of the family members involved in that donation. For Jean and Shirley, however, it was this land on which they had set their hearts as a place where their generosity would reap great spiritual fruits. Here, they did not just donate land. They also donated money for the building of this wonderful and beautiful church. They also donated a school building for the education of the children, that building on the other side of the campus. They also donated a priory for the residence of the priest. They also donated a cemetery for the members of the faithful who've passed on, for them to rest there and await the last judgment. They had in mind the building of a Catholic community where the traditional liturgy would flourish, these 18 acres in Watkins, where our Lord Jesus Christ would reign, a place that would be dedicated to a farmer who was extremely holy, St. Isidore the farmer. We can certainly think that this generosity counted for much for them on the day of their particular judgment, that day when they faced our Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom or farm they tried to advance during their lifetime. That day was 9 years ago for Jean when he died in 2011, and it was just a few days ago for Shirley, that day of the particular judgment when they met our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't think there's any one of us in this church who might like to have had this place to point to in facing our Lord, to appeal to. I do think that our Lord is very grateful for their generosity for his church. And we must also be grateful. I've asked the Lenneber family to provide me a picture of Mr. and Mrs. Lenneber, so we can put it in a prominent place in the vestibule, so everybody can remember what they have done for this place, how this place not in any way be possible without their generosity. But there's another farming parable of our Lord that so far I've failed to mention. It's about the farmer who goes out to sow his seed. And some of that seed, it falls on stony ground. And the seed comes up, but it doesn't have any root. And so it dies. Some of it comes up surrounded by thorns, thorny weeds, and it gets choked to death. Some of it falls by the wayside and is exposed and gets eaten up by the birds. And some of it finally falls on good ground and comes up and bears fruit. But not all the seed bears fruit equally. Even that that falls on good ground, some of it does better than others. Some of the plants are better than others. Our Lord said, some of it bears 30-fold, some of it 60-fold, and some of it 100-fold. It's interesting that St. Thomas Aquinas, he says the 60-fold belongs to widows, who have remained widows, and kept the chastity of their state. You know that Mrs. Lineber was a widow these past 9 years. But we have reason to think that the sowing that she and her husband did in the vineyard of the Lord even went up to the 100-fold that our Lord speaks about when we consider what they made this place, what it has become, and what it will be in the years ahead of us, God willing, in the decades ahead of us, in the centuries ahead of us. This is all the more comforting when we consider that our Lord did not praise all farmers. There's a particular type of farmer that he condemned, that he said was blameworthy. That farmer, that we may call the rich and greedy farmer. He says there was a certain rich farmer whose land brought forth many fruits. And this farmer, he filled up all his barns, and yet the harvest was still coming. He didn't have any place to put all this harvest in order to make money off of it. And instead of taking that excess that the farmer had, and perhaps giving it away to the poor, or giving it to God, it's not what this rich and greedy farmer said he would do. He said, yeah, what I will do is I'll make sure that I have the ability to make money off of all this harvest. I want to get rid of my small barns. I want to build even bigger barns. When I build these bigger barns, I will be able to put this huge harvest in them, reap even more money, and then take my retirement and just relax, have a good time the rest of my life. And our Lord gives God's judgment to this rich and greedy farmer. God says to him, you fool, this night, the day that you've completed these extra barns, this night do they demand thy soul of thee? And the things that you have provided, whose will they be now that you die? And our Lord concludes by saying that this is the result for one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich as regards God. If this is how our Lord looks at the rich and greedy farmer, how then, we may ask ourselves, does he look at the rich and generous farmer, the farmer who is generous as regards God? We may think that God is well pleased and we'll call him or her a good and a faithful servant. Of course, I'm not saying that we must not pray for Mr. and Mrs. Lineber. I'm not canonizing them. I'm sure that they had their faults. And we certainly must not forget to pray to them, not just for a few weeks or for a few months, but for years. We must remember our beloved deceased in our prayers, especially in the month of November. Keep bringing back the names of our deceased family members especially. But it's just so necessary and appropriate on this day that Mrs. Lenaber is put to rest to speak of the good example that she and her husband gave, to mention the enormous contributions they made, without which this place would not have happened, and to acknowledge our debt of gratitude. And likewise to say that their generosity will receive and has received a reward from our Lord Jesus Christ, and will stand well for them on that day of the final harvest. St. John the Evangelist in his Apocalypse, he represents our Lord coming back in the second coming as a farmer. He depicts our Lord coming back with a sickle, which he will reap the earth on the day of the last judgment. And I saw, he said, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sitting like to the Son of Man, having on his head a crown of gold, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat upon the cloud, which is our Lord sitting upon the cloud, saying, thrust in thy sickle and reap, because the hour is come to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud, our Lord Jesus Christ, thrust his sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped. Today, dear family members of Mrs. Lenaber, we lay her to rest next to her husband on that land that they donated and dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ and populated with buildings for his service. There they will wait as the decades and the centuries roll by. They will wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the farmer, at his second coming, at the last judgment. Let us pray for the repose of their souls, and let us be grateful for their lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.